Hello and welcome to the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson, the podcast designed to give you all the financial advice you'll ever need. This is episode 82, where in a moment, we look at financial planning for beginners, a really good place to jump into our podcast if you've never heard it before and you need a sort of starter kit. That's today's show topic, and it's on the way, like I say, in just a second. But please bear in mind, if you have a general financial query, you're in the right place because we have an enormous resource of free advice right here. And you can access it all simply through delving into our back catalogue of shows, because in our programs to date, we featured loads of stuff. Mortgages, pensions, investing, life insurance, and loads more. You name it, we've done it pretty much. And last week, we looked at 20 quotes to help you gain money and success. Remember, we can drill down and focus on pretty much anything forensically. Find the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get us there. Like I say, an enormous resource, all available for free. Find our previous shows after listening to this one and have a binge on what you need. While you're there, if you could rate and review us, for instance, you could tell us what we need to address to help you out and follow the show, then that way you'll get that episode when we record it next time. I'm John Ellis. With me as always, the star of our show, it's Phil Anderson. Hi, Phil.
Hi, John. How are you today?
Good, thank you. What a great little show this one's going to be. Kind of like our greatest hit so far, because even on show 82, it's worth bearing in mind, there's always something new to the idea of financial planning. And it can seem a little bit daunting, to say the least, when you stumble across, you know, certain bits of jargon maybe you've never seen or heard before, because you just don't know what you don't know. Financial planning for beginners then. So where do we start?
Yeah, I thought it'd be a good one to do today and really just go through some basics, some of the things that we could probably touch on today is things like budgeting, protecting yourself, emergency funds, wills, powers of attorney, a little bit on financial goal setting, retirement planning and pensions, just covering some of the basic stuff. I know we've done some podcasts on them in more detail, but I thought this one's really, if someone wants to sort of change their financial position, I thought this would be a good show just to kind of go through the basics and also maybe just discuss like some of the benefits of somebody taking financial advice and also where to find a financial advisor if you don't have one. So quite a few things that we can cover and touch on today.
Yeah, and we can just sort of skim the surface and you know, peel back that first couple of layers for you so you get an idea. Okay, so let's start where you did then, budgeting. What do I need to know when it comes to budgeting as a starter financial subject?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the first place to start with any financial plan is to look at your position as it is now. First of all, what you need to do is have a look at everything you've got coming in and everything that you've got going out. If you've got more going out than coming in, then you need to look at ways to either increase what you've got coming in or decrease what you've got going out, or maybe a combination of both. But you would be amazed how many people are in that position. I see it a lot. I've seen folk in the past come in looking for mortgage advice and they've got a lot of loans, credit cards, a lot going out, and they sometimes haven't got a lot of spare cash kind of left each month. But in the past, I mean, at the moment, I know it's quite timely that you've kind of got a bit of a cost of living crisis at the moment. And we did do a podcast in the past on saving money on your bills. So if someone is in that position where they want to try and save a wee bit of money, that could be a good one for them to go back to listen to, just some ways to reduce their outgoings. But I always say to folks, it's good to write down what you have, not just what you've got coming in and going out, but also just what you've got in general. I've mentioned this in a few podcasts in the past, but we have a document, what I own and where it's kept. That's always been very popular. Every week I get a few people asking for a copy of that document. So it's good. You can write down everything that you've got at the minute, your whole financial position, any policies you've already got, details of any wills, that type of thing. So if anyone wants a copy of that document, just send me an email and I can fire it over to you. My email address is phil@philandersonfinancial.co.uk. So that's a free resource that we give out. And it's a good place just to log everything that you've got there. But coming back to budgeting, knowing what you've got coming in and out, it's vital when it comes to financial planning. So when you're looking at the ins, you want to count up everything. So you want to see, right, what have I got coming in per month? It could be money from wages, child benefit, tax credits. If you're older, it might be pension income you've got coming in. It could be child maintenance and so on. So write down everything that you've got coming in. And then what you'll want to do is have a look at everything that's going out. So some of those things might be fixed costs. So it could be like mortgage and rent. utility bills. I know they're going up a fair bit at the moment. And then you'll also have some things that might be variable costs, things like shopping costs, the cost of takeaways, clothes. You also want to remember to include things like any insurances that you're paying out, any loans, credit cards. If you've got kids, you want to take into account like any expenditure for them. Are you paying out for toys, pocket money, childcare costs? Having a good budget is a good start because you want to say, right, what have I got coming in? What have I got going out? And then at that point, you want to try and say, right, what's my disposable income? And once you know what your disposable income is, that allows you to plan better as to what you're going to do with it. Do you want to save some? Do you want to put some into a pension? Do you want to look at various insurance policies? So at that point, you know, right, whatever I'm doing, this is what I can afford, and this is my sort of budget from there.
Yeah, this is what I have to play with, let's say. Next up, the sort of thing that I think can come into its own, particularly if you're maybe self-employed, but it's always handy to have anyway. Tell me more about protection, Phil, what it is and how it breaks down in a financial sense.
Yeah, they often use the term protection, which I don't really like that as a phrase, but they often say that that's the cornerstone of financial planning. And what that is, it covers things like life insurance, critical illness cover, income protection, unemployment cover. Basically, what it is some sort of insurance policy that should something happen, there's an amount paid out there. Now, I'll go through each of them just in a little bit of detail. So the first one that I mentioned was life insurance. So what that is you pay a premium to an insurance company, and if you die, they pay out a lump sum, or you could actually do it that they pay out an amount. There's one called family income benefit where it pays out an amount each month for a certain period of time. That can often be a little bit cheaper. But life insurance is something, it's an insurance policy that you pay into. You don't get nothing back at the end if you never claim on it. So you're paying that money each month. If you die, there's a lump sum paid out to your beneficiaries, which in a lot of cases might be a partner, husband or wife, or children, or usually a family member. Now, for some people, they might not need life insurance. If you're maybe a single person with no dependents, you might think, right, I don't really need life cover. You might want to have a wee bit so that it covered funeral expenses if you were to die prematurely. But for a lot of people, especially if you've got a spouse or partner, or if you've got children, life insurance really is something that's worth considering. So that's what that is. I mentioned critical illness cover. It's quite popular these days. It's an insurance where, again, you pay a monthly premium to an insurer. The critical illness cover pays out if you're diagnosed with things like cancer, heart attack, stroke. If you suffer a critical illness, it pays out. So you may be off work for some period of time. So that's money that you can use maybe to pay off a mortgage should something happen, something serious happen. Again, there's a lot of different critical illness providers out there. They all cover slightly different things, but that's where a good financial advisor would be able to keep you right with all of that sort of thing. Income protection, that's a policy that pays out to protect your income. So if you were off work for a period of time, let's say you maybe broke a leg, or if you were off with backache or stress, that type of thing, that's the sort of thing that pays out on. So that would pay an income for a set period until you went back to work. And unemployment cover, that's one that we haven't actually been able to get that for people recently, but there is an insurer now started doing unemployment cover. So that's an insurance where, again, you pay a premium each month, and if you were made unemployed from your job, that pays out an amount per month, which kind of compensates for the fact that you're no longer working. So protection and insurances are often seen as the cornerstone of financial planning, because if you didn't have an income or you were unable to work and take money in, then for a lot of people, they're going to be in quite a bit of bother should that happen.
And, you know, I would be one of those because I'm self-employed. So if I'm not working, there isn't any money coming into my house. Yeah. But I get the feeling all the same, especially if you're younger. When you're young, Phil, you know this, you walk about thinking that you're sort of life-proof almost, bulletproof.
Yeah.
And the idea of insuring yourself against something like that, it seems a world away.
I know.
I'm going to guess it's one of those that gets dodged quite a bit as a regular payment, is it?
It does. I would say life insurance and critical illness cover tend to be more popular than income protection, but protecting your income is such an important thing. Now, at the minute, I don't have income protection myself, but the reason for that is that if I'm off work, my work, I own the business, so it still functions without me. So I could be off for 6 months and I could still have an income coming from the business that I own. But for most people, if you're employed, what you want to do is check with your employer to find out what sickness benefits they offer. Sometimes it might just be statutory sick pay, which just isn't a lot at all. So it is good to look at and say, right, what would my employer pay me if I'm off sick? And should I look at maybe just some sort of policy? Sometimes as well, you're saying they're good to look at when you're younger. And what you'll tend to find, the younger you are, the cheaper the premiums tend to be on that type of insurance as well. And not only that, they'll look at like what your medical history has been. And the younger you are, the less things you tend to have wrong with you. It's amazing, having done a lot of life insurance and income protection policies for people over the years, there's not many people go through the application form without answering yes to some of the questions, whether that's they've had some sort of mental issues in the past or a bad back or some kind of thing that comes up. There's very few goes through it without by answering sort of yes to or no to all the questions there.
As we're going through this, Phil, it's got me thinking about an idea, and I don't know if this is feasible or worthwhile or not. Maybe we're all too individual in our needs, but what about the idea of like a financial starter pack? So let's say mum and dad want to gift their kid £500 for landing their first ever job. Let's just say it's like that. So they come to you and they tell you that they want to sort out their son or daughter with a financial starter pack, and it's like a tick sheet process. So they pay the money into life insurance plan, critical illness cover, private pension, a few other things that you're going to touch on today. So there's a few bob in a savings account in their son or daughter's name, and it pays the first couple of months worth of direct debit payments, encouraging their child, grown-up child, to keep on with the policies. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, do you know what? I think something like that would be a really good idea.
Hey, it's only taking 82 shows.
Do you know, like one of the things that I was thinking about that is like premiums for life insurance, for example, that'll vary depending on your age, your health, if you're a smoker, because smokers' life expectancy would be less, so they'll pay a higher premium than a non-smoker. So I guess the only issue with that would be that premiums can vary from person to person. But, you know, I like having to almost like checklist to say, right, we should be looking at this. Going back to that document, what I own and where it's kept, it's quite good because it really mentions everything in there. Mm-hmm. It mentions wills, pensions, savings, insurance policies. So it covers everything in there. But different people have got different needs at different stages of their life. But I do think that would be a good, in principle, something like that would be a really good idea, John.
Oh, I'm super chuffed, Phil. Now, next up, emergency funds. You've spoken about the importance before of having one. But for anyone just getting into to sort of financial planning, because today's show is financial planning for beginners, maybe you could recap for me about emergency funds.
Yeah, probably the best way to describe an emergency fund, it's money that you've got there just in a bank or building society, so that if any emergencies came up, you've got something there to cover it. Now, I set money aside. I've actually got 3 months kind of income just in an accessible account, so that if anything unexpected comes up, I've got money there. It's also good. I mean, if you needed to get your hands on money quickly, you may be able to borrow it, but you'll tend to find it maybe at quite an expensive interest rate, or you might not be able to get anything at all. So again, it's good if you're off work. I don't know, just say like someone's a builder or joiner and they're off work for a few weeks and they maybe don't get paid, at least they would have something there for paying their bills, paying a mortgage. So it's good to look at having an emergency fund. And but I would also say if you've got debts already, I mean, you don't want to have, if you're paying expensive debts, so things like payday loans or credit cards. I mean, you may have a credit card with an interest rate of 25%. So if that was the case, it'd be more advisable trying to pay that off first before building up an emergency fund. But it's good to have money just sat there so that if anything unexpected comes up, you've got something there that you can use for anything there.
Now, going back a fair bit, I couldn't tell you the number of the show in question, but I can tell you the name of it because it stuck with me. It was called Nay Will, Nay Wise. And it was all about the importance of having a will. And the other thing that we touched on that show was about power of attorney. And I think one of the important aspects about those, if we're just sort of starting out the financial planning journey, is that the idea of these things seems towards the end of that journey. I mean, the problem is none of us know how long the journey is going to be, right? So tell us a bit more about wills and power of attorney.
Having a will and power of attorney is such an important thing. We covered that episode 14.
I could rely on you.
But quite a long time ago, we did that one, Nay Will, Nay Wise, it was called, and that covered wills. I mean, they are probably quite, I don't know, maybe half an hour or so just speaking about wills, why it's important to have one, where you can get one set up. So but what we're trying to do is condense that episode into just a couple of minutes here. But a will is a document that if you die, it states who sorts out your estate and also who gets what you've got. So that's the benefit of having a will. It also means that if you were to die, everything gets sorted out a lot quicker. I mean, that's a time for your family that is going to be very hard if it ever happens. And you're right, a lot of people often think, oh, I'm only young, I don't need a will. And nobody knows what's around the corner. That's the thing. I've seen it numerous times in the past where people have died prematurely. I've seen it as well where they've died without a will. So it's a good thing to have in place. Episode 32 was the one. It was called A Quick Guide to Powers of Attorney. Basically, what a power of attorney is it's a legal document that covers things like your wishes, or someone basically takes over your affairs if you can't, for whatever reason. But that can cover health and care decisions. It can cover financial decisions. If someone's looking to set up a will or a power of attorney, that's something a solicitor can look at doing. They would be able to tell you all the pros and cons of each sort of thing, and also how much it would cost as well. But powers of attorney are often overlooked, but it's a really important thing to consider. I definitely say wills you want to get in place. I know financial advisors, when they make any recommendation, they'll send out what's often called a suitability report or a recommendation letter. And they always cover wills in there. They'll either say, look, if you've got a will, make sure it's updated. If you don't have a will, you should go and get one in place. So it just means that if anything happens to you, your assets are going to who you want them to go to. And as I say, it makes things easier for your family should the worst happen.
And I often think, Phil, people who've never had a will think that it's going to cost a fortune to set one up. And that is almost the exact opposite of a standard will procedure. Sometimes it's free even, isn't it?
I know a lot of solicitors will do free wills. Yeah. Now, the reason they do them free is that they often try to put themselves down as the executor. Now, the executor is the person that sorts out your estate should you die. So at that point, if they were the executor, they'd be charging your estate a fee for sorting things out. But it doesn't cost much. I mean, you can get wills done for maybe £50 to £100. So it's not a lot at the moment. I think it was in March this year, it was free will month. But as I say, a lot of places will do free wills. You can get kits online to do it yourself. I always think it's like go and speak to a solicitor, and you should be in the region of about £50 to £100 for a will, unless your circumstances are really complex. But if they are really complex, then it's probably even more important that you've got a will in place at that point of time.
That's when we're getting into Agatha Christie movies or Afternoons with Columbo, when, you know, the will comes out and it's like, you know, 16 pages long and everyone's gathered around an old antique desk as someone reads out the will. Next up, Phil, here's one of your absolute faves, financial goal setting, or any goal setting, really. But let's keep it to finance for now. Why is goal setting so important when it comes to finance?
You've got to have a vision, and you've got to know what you want your future to look like as well. So looking at myself, what motivates me is holidays. Now, my vision is when I retire or at some point in my 60s, I would love to do a round the world cruise. But to do that, it's expensive. The one I looked at before was like about £50,000 per person. So I'm thinking, right, I'm 45 now. I've got maybe 15 to 20 years to save that. So I know to get that, I've got to be saving now a couple of hundred quid a month to be able to afford that. So I've got that vision. I can picture myself kind of on this cruise visiting, it goes to like about 80 different countries. And I thought, I would love to do that, health permitting and God willing. But I mean, for some people, their vision for the future might be that they maybe want to play golf 4 or 5 times a week. It could be that they maybe want to have 2 holidays a year. For some people, they might want to have a fancy motorhome and tour the UK. But whatever you want your future to look like, you've got to kind of build that and work towards it. For some people, it's just they think, right, I just want to get by and be able to pay my bills when I retire. So it's good to have financial goals. It's good to have a vision. good to picture it. I mean, I, like in my office, I've got pictures of things, places I want to go, cars that I would like to drive one day, fitness goals. I've got sporting goals. I've always wanted to go to Wimbledon. I did have tickets for Wimbledon this year, but unfortunately I've had to give them up because on the day that I was going to be going there, I kind of manage now, but that's a goal that one day I would like to do. So all of that, you need money to do a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. So the financial goals often are so integrated with other kind of goals. And I mean, I've got goals that I'd love to go to the Oscars. I mean, it was just the other week there was controversy at the Oscars, but I thought I'd love to go to that one day. I will manage it. I don't know. I probably need to get some kind of contact to get me in, but I've got all these goals. So it gives me a purpose and it drives me on. So saving for me is much easier because I think, right, what sometimes you've got to sacrifice something now to get what you want in the future. So sometimes I think, right, I'll maybe have a holiday less now, but that money can go towards something super somewhere down the line. So it's good to have a vision, good to have your financial goals and think about, just almost start thinking about how you want your financial future to look like.
And here's another biggie, and I suppose they all are in their own way, but the idea of retirement planning and pensions is another one where if you're only starting out in financial planning for beginners, you're probably going to look at that and say, well, I don't have to bother with that straight away. And again, you'd be wrong. But it's on the right track for retirement planning and pensions, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd say what a pension is it's just a savings vehicle where you build up money for your retirement. Sometimes people hear these words and they think, oh, I don't know what that is. That sounds complicated. Or sometimes, like, there's been various kind of pension scandals over the years for different things. So sometimes people hear a word and they think, oh, I want to steer clear of pensions. I remember years and years ago, worked at the Skipton Building Society. And back then, they really just did investments. And I remember saying to financial advisors, why do you need to do pensions? Oh, we're not interested in that. Pensions are not good. And pensions are a good thing because if you pay money into a pension, you get tax relief on it. So the government tops up what you've paid in straight away. Another good thing with pensions is once you're aged 22 and over, if you're employed, your employer's got to automatically enroll you into what's called a workplace pension scheme. So that's a great thing because your employer will contribute to that. You contribute something to it and you get the tax relief as well. So in a lot of cases, you're sometimes doubling your money straight away. So no other investment can be like that. So pensions are really good. The downside with pensions are that the money is away until you get to usually at least age 55. So that is a negative there. So for some people, they might think, right, that the first goal might be to start saving and build up an emergency fund before they look at paying into a pension. But if you're over the age of 22 and employed, you should really be looking to kind of stay in your employer's auto-enrollment workplace pension scheme. I do come across some people that opt out, but you're getting almost free money added to it straight away. And like I say, you get what's called tax relief. So the government's actually topping that up for you. The money that you build up in your pension pot, that's there so that when you do retire, that money can then provide you with an income in retirement. So pensions are a great area to look at. Again, sometimes when you're first starting out, I would say the first things initially are things like make sure you're protected, build up an emergency fund, do the budgeting. But once you've done all that, starting to look at things like pensions and saving for the future is a good thing to look at.
Now, you could set all of this stuff up on your own, or you could go and buy a financial starter pack for my friend Phil here. I'm going to make it a thing, maybe. But in real terms, right now, Phil, if someone is looking at trying to get a few of these ideas in the go, maybe they're too uncertain about doing it themselves, how do they go about finding a reputable, trustworthy financial advisor? I mean, is there an official list of that nature where they can source someone that way?
Yeah, I mean, the Financial Conduct Authority, which used to be known as the Financial Services Authority, they've got a website. Now, on there, they've got a list of all the actual authorised financial advisors at the moment. There's many benefits to taking financial advice. what a financial advisor or financial planner is there to do is to try and make things simple and straightforward for you. They're taking away the pain of you having to do something yourself, the pain of having to learn about. I mean, you can do anything yourself, but you need, whatever you're doing, you need to learn how to do it. So they're there to help you plan for the future, try and make things easy for you. There was one recent study, and it highlighted that receiving professional financial advice over a 5-year period resulted in a total boost to wealth. Now, that included people's pensions and financial assets of £47,706. Wow. So that figure is quite staggering, really. It's probably a lot more than I thought it would be, but it just shows, I mean, that's studies that's been done in the past that shows the benefits of someone speaking to a financial planner and financial advisor to take advice. One good website that I often signpost people to, there's one called biased.co.uk. It's like a site for finding a financial advisor. It's really good on there. It gives you their response ratings. You can search for one in your local area if you wanted to try and see someone face-to-face locally. It's a great tool. And also, I mean, not all financial advisors are looking for new clients. A lot of them are older people who have been advisors for years. They're happy just servicing their existing clients, and they don't really want to take on new clients. Some financial advisors also have a minimum wealth that somebody's got to have. But the great thing about Unbiased is you can put in just some of your own details and they'll match you to a reputable firm that's local to you as well. So that website, again, it's www.unbiased.co.uk.
Okay, so that's financial planning for beginners. What are the big points to remember here, Phil?
I would say, like, for beginners, the main things, going back to the first three things we covered, number one was do your budgets. Number two was get protected. And number three, look at wills and possibly a power of attorney as well. And I think that's a good starting point. I would say do that first. Sometimes if you plan on doing too much, you end up doing nothing at all. So I would just say focus on that kind of two or three things initially. If you get those right, first of all, and then you can start to look at things like, right, saving money, investing, pensions, things like that could come later. But so the first three that I would say that make a priority is just to do your budget, see what you've got coming in and out, consider various insurances, things like life insurance, income protection, and then have a look and definitely look at getting a will in place.
Okay. All right. Here we go, Phil. As we enter into the first part of the show where you share a bit of your own life story, what have you got regarding this one on financial planning for beginners? I suppose everyone has a beginning moment. You're a beginner at some point, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I was working in the Building Society at the time, and probably the first time I took financial advice, I was looking to get a mortgage. So that would be the first time I kind of looked at things. And I sat down with a financial advisor there. At that point, they recommended I take out life insurance, critical illness cover, income protection. I took out everything at that point because I was like, yep, perfect. Like the idea of covering everything. The only downside for me then was that I was only on a wage of about £9,500 a year. And I ended up, I was paying about £120 a month for my protection plans. And really, I didn't have that amount spare to be paying. So my budgets weren't great at that point. And unfortunately for me, I gave up that policy probably within about 6 months of actually moving into my house. For me, I often think the financial advisor that set them up then might have been better just setting up one or two things rather than everything. I can see why they would want to cover me for everything, but it just wasn't affordable. I couldn't do everything. So again, sometimes having something is better than having nothing at all.
Absolutely. Now, Phil is really keen on trying to help you with your financial queries. We'll come on to those in a second, but I know you find inspiration through various folk you admire and you love a quote, Phil. So what have you got on the subject of today's shows, financial planning for beginners?
This one was an anonymous quote. Allow yourself to be a beginner. No one starts at the top.
True enough. Now, let's get on to some of your emails. If you want to email a question to us, please do. And as always, we can ask it anonymously if you like your question. Let's get on to this week's contact details in a second. I'll give it to you after these. Here's our first question. Hi, Phil. I'm 18 and I'm starting my first job. My mum and dad keep telling me I need to have a pension. How much do I need to pay into it?
That's a great question. What I would say is the earlier that you start paying into one, the more time your money's got to grow. if you can afford to pay in, then that's great. As I say, sometimes at that age, you've got other expenses and you sometimes don't have spare cash. Once you get to age 22, at that point, you're automatically enrolled in a pension at that stage. Personally, I would love it if they could decrease that age to, say, like 18. Mm. But at the moment, from age 22 is when the auto-enrollment and workplace pension schemes kick in. What I would say is check with your work to see if they would contribute now, because it may be that they might be able to let you go into the work's pension scheme. And if they contribute to it, that's really good. I mean, once you're 22 at that point, usually you would end up paying about 5% of your qualifying earnings and your employer would be adding 3%, and then you've got the tax relief on top. If you can afford that amount, great. If no, again, paying something in is better than nothing. But I know what things were like for myself when I was that age. Sometimes you've got other kind of bills to be paying out. So again, it comes back to that budgeting, having Absolutely. A look and say, right, what have you got coming in? What have you got going out? Maybe best as well, nae rushing in anything. Give it a few months of working and see how things go. See how the ins are coming, see how your outs are going. The downside, as I say, with paying into a pension is that for someone of that age, you're not going to be able to get any of that money out until at least age 57. Wow. So that's the negative for her. Yeah, a lot of benefits to paying into a pension. And I suppose the earlier you start, the better, really. And the more you can pay in, the better. But I know myself, life doesn't always work out that way.
No. Next one is from Kerry in Broughty Ferry. Jabba, she's not the biggest fan of a limerick, eh? There once was a girl called Kerry who stayed in Broughty Ferry, where the wind bashed the coast like a gate off a post. So she always went out in a berry. Boom, boom. But I digress. Kerry says, hi, Phil. I recently got awarded a tax rebate, but rather than get money back into my bank, HMRC paid it towards my next tax payment without informing me in advance or giving me a choice. Are they allowed to do that, and can I appeal?
I'll be honest, I've never seen that before. In the past, when I've seen people getting tax money back, it's either been that the HMRC have sent them a cheque,
yeah,
or they've amended their tax code. So that's not something I've seen in the past. So what I'd probably suggest there is if you've got an accountant, I would maybe suggest speaking to them and see what they say. Probably more the remit of an accountant, that one, rather than a financial advisor or okay. a financial planner.
All right. At least you pointed them in the right direction. Now, I would just say as well, before you get in touch with the question, you might want to take a look back at our back catalogue, because we've covered loads of topics and we may have touched on what you're interested in. I'm John Mellis. Thanks for joining us for the UK Personal Finance Show with Phil Anderson. If you feel you need a helping hand with anything we've been discussing or anything else of a monetary matter, find Phil for Finance. Search Phil Anderson Financial Services online or on the Facebook page for the show. Search Personal Finance with Phil Anderson. That's Personal Finance with Phil Anderson on Facebook. Phil's on Twitter and LinkedIn too. Or why not email Phil a question he can answer on a future show? His address is phil@philandersonfinancial.co.uk. That's phil@philandersonfinancial.co.uk. Send him your question. And as I say, he could be answering it in an upcoming podcast. And please be assured, we won't use your real name if you prefer it that way. Remember, if you found this useful, please rate and recommend us. And please follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you'll get us every week with the info you want when you need it. You get all the links you need on Phil's social media. Good luck with your money. Phil's doing his best to help make that cash go further. We'll see you next time, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, John. Hope you have a great week.